This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. In 1915, Private James Anderton of the King's Own Royal Lancaster Regiment was stationed behind the lines on the coast of northern France near Le Touquet. He'd been assigned to transport duty and found himself driving a truck to and from a gravel pit on top of the cliffs. Whenever he got to the cliffs, he would try to catch a glimpse of home across the channel. For over 40 visits in all kinds of weather, I saw nothing but the full extent of water all the way to the horizon, he recalled in 1953, and my hopes of seeing England faded. Eventually, he stopped looking. Just heaved that wheezing truck to and fro, its gears crunching, the rudimentary suspension ensuring every bump and every pothole jarred right up and down his spine. One day he was standing with his back to the sea, talking to another lorry driver, when he saw his companion's eyes widen suddenly. He pointed over James's shoulder. "Look," he said, it's Blighty." James spun around and, at last, saw a coastline across the water. But that wasn't all. Despite the 25 miles or more that separated him from Folkestone, he could see the town clearly, and specifically a row of houses on a hill above the harbour that appeared so close he could even read the numbers on their doors. "It was evidently the fashion to polish the numbers daily," he said. "Number 95 was the brightest," which is a pretty good line, especially in an age that thought Arthur Askey was funny. "The thing was," he said, "I can't read door numbers on the other side of our street, and they're 40 feet away, let alone 25 miles." James wasn't the first to observe this spooky phenomenon in the English Channel. In 1895, Roger Pocock was on a steamer chugging south from the North Sea into the Straits of Dover, when suddenly Boulogne appeared, right in front of the vessel, rather than 30-odd miles away. "We could see every roof and the smoke rising from thousands of chimney pots," he said. "We saw every window of the chateau and the dome of the cathedral in intricate detail. Not only that, the ground appeared to be tilted towards us, for I could make out fields and roads beyond the town, and even a man on the road walking his dog." What these lads had witnessed was an example of atmospheric refraction, fluctuations in air density that can produce everything from full-on mirages to making the stars twinkle. This particular phenomenon, called looming, doesn't happen very often, and is most common in polar regions. The first map of Antarctica was wildly inaccurate when in the 1830s the explorer Charles Wilkes miscalculated the location of the coast because it had appeared to him miles closer than it actually was. It is very occasionally observed in more temperate climes, like ours. Perhaps our most spectacular manifestation occurred during the summer of 1798. William Latham, a fellow of the Royal Society, so not a man to entertain reckless flimflam, was sitting at home in Hastings one July afternoon when he heard a commotion outside. The entire town appeared to be hot-footing it towards the seafront. And when William stuck his head out the window to ask what was going on, he learned that the coast of France, way beyond the horizon from Hastings, was plainly visible to the naked eye. He rushed to the beach, and sure enough, there was the French coast. Plainly visible, to the naked eye. Not only that, as he watched, it appeared to be getting even closer. William walked along the shore towards the cliffs to get a better view, stopping to talk to some fishermen, who told him they'd recognised a windmill and a church they knew from fishing the waters near Boulogne. Up on the cliffs, William looked through his telescope and found he couldn't just make out Dieppe, he could see people walking up and down the seafront. The whole thing lasted nearly 4 hours before fading away and leaving Hastings with its regular France-free horizon. Some witnesses to a looming incident have also reported mirror images. In 1852, a correspondent for the Southern Reporter recounted seeing ships in the English Channel with exact replicas directly overhead, upside down, like some weird nautical Rorschach test. He wrote of every sailor on deck having an inverted ghost above them who copied his every movement with exact precision. In 1869, another Royal Society man, John Parnell, witnessed a similar phenomenon. In the Straits of Dover, he could see parts of the French coast that shouldn't have been remotely visible from where he was. In addition, he could see two images of a single ship, anchored in what he recognised as Boulogne Harbour, and five images of the lighthouse at Cap Grenet, of differing sizes, a couple of them upside down. He wrote in the Philosophical magazine, "The Varne lightship, about 8 miles from the English coast, had her mast, flagstaff and stanchions elongated to some 3 times their proper length, and this effect lasted for about 10 minutes, when they shrank to less than half their usual size. Then the hull began to rise until it was nearly as high as it was long, and formed a most conspicuous object. Upon looking towards Dover, the pier seemed completely disorganized. It appeared to be divided in half lengthways, with the sea in the midst, while the stone coping moved as if huge waves were agitating it." Now, the latter certainly seems to be an example of a Fata Morgana, an illusion created by a specific combination of atmospheric conditions, including a thermal inversion, in which a layer of warm air rests on top of a layer of cold air, causing rays of light to be distorted. But the phenomenon experienced by James Anderton and the others was something different, and occasionally dangerous. In September 1908, a 1,300-ton steamer from Cardiff called the Rosella smashed into rocks near Jersey and sank within 15 minutes. The crew managed to make it into the lifeboats and everyone was saved. But when they reached the shore, the captain blamed a mirage that, he said, made distances deceptive. It might be, though, that Britain was actually saved from invasion by a spot of looming. In September 1939, 3 weeks into the Second World War, people along the south coast suddenly saw buildings at Dungeness suspended high in the air. That's probably why Hitler didn't invade. Saw it as some dastardly lift the country up in the air so he can't reach it plan. He was only little. That was A Coastal Story, written and presented by me, Charlie Connolly. You can find us on Facebook at Coastal Stories Podcast, and you can follow me on Twitter at Charlie Connolly. My book, Attention All Shipping, A Journey Round the Shipping Forecast, is available from all the places you'd expect.